In Revelation chapter 4, John presents a description of what he saw and heard in his heavenly vision. And what did he see? Well, he saw God the Father seated on his throne, and he heard the heavenly host offering continual worshipful praise to God, to this one seated on the throne. And then in chapter 5, John narrows his focus to a scroll held in God's right hand. What was the significance of this scroll? Well, it is the title deed to the earth. That's significant. And of course, the hope was that there would be someone who could be found qualified, worthy to open this seal and to reveal its message. Notice verse 3 through verse 5 again of Revelation chapter 5. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed, or hath overcome, to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Three descriptions are given here for the one who qualified to open this seven seal scroll. And the first is, he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And this is a reference to Genesis chapter 49, verse 9, where Judah is called a lion. And of course, the king of beasts excels in strength and in majestic dignity and courage and in the ability to rule over his dominion. He is king of the beasts. And certainly Christ fits the description of a lion, for he is from the tribe of Judah. And he is majestically strong, and following his second coming, he will rule and reign as king over all the earth. He is the Lion. And then the second description of the one qualified to open this scroll is the Root of David, which is a reference from Isaiah 11:1 and verse 10 of that chapter that links Christ to the Davidic line. But as we all know, Christ is greater than his father David, and he will one day sit on David's throne and rule and reign. Luke chapter 1 tells us, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. That is significant. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. No wonder he's greater than his father David. And then the third description of the one qualified to open the scroll is identified as a lamb. And we see this in verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now here we see the lamb pictured in three ways. First, he is said to be standing in the midst of the throne. The point here is Christ has stepped from his throne at his Father's right hand. Picture it in your mind. Father's right hand in heaven, and is moved in front of the Father to receive the scroll. Notice verse 7. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. He took the scroll, the book from his father's hand. And then second, the lamb appears as if it had been slain, although it is still standing, which tells us Christ is often portrayed in the New Testament as a slain lamb who still possesses the scars of death. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, it speaks of, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And then the third picture of Christ the Lamb is that he has seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And here we see, you say, well, what does that, all of that mean? Well, here we see Christ in the fullness of his omnipotence, omniscience, his omnipresence. We see Christ as fully God in all of his attributes. Now, the designations of Christ as a lion and then as a lamb seem to be incongruous. And that's a big word. Sometimes I have to look up these words. Amen. It means these creatures don't seem to be in harmony or in agreement. And you say, well, how is that? Well, ladies and gentlemen, lions eat lambs. Amen? So, I mean, how do you put a lion and a lamb in the same person? Well, the fact is, in reality, they do complement each other. And I want to spend the rest of this message showing the beauty of this conjunction. I want us to see in Jesus Christ our lion and our lamb. And ladies and gentlemen, you need a lion and you need a lamb to be your Savior. Well, let's pray and then begin. Father, I pray that you'll bless basically this Bible lesson, this Bible study. And Lord, I pray that we'll see in Jesus Christ the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that we will see in Jesus Christ the Lamb as it had been slain. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, as a lion, Christ is infinitely high. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. He is higher than the heavens. Think about that. He is higher than the heavens and higher than the highest angels of heaven. But then as a lamb, Christ is infinitely low. For he condescends not only to the angels, but to such poor creatures as men. He takes notice of the poor of the world, James 2:5. Base things of the world, things that are despised, hath he chosen. And he takes notice of little children. It takes a humble person to take notice of a child. In fact, he says, come unto me. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And so first of all, we see here Christ is infinitely high as a lion, and yet he is infinitely low as a lamb. Secondly, as a lion, we find in Jesus Christ infinite justice. He is infinitely holy and just, infinitely hating sin, and is disposed to execute worthy, suitable punishment for sin. After all, he is the judge of all the earth, and he will not at all acquit the wicked or by any means clear the guilty. And yet as a lamb, Christ is infinitely gracious and merciful. And though our Lord's justice is appropriately strict with respect to sin and every breach of the law, and yet he has the grace sufficient for every sinner, even the chief of sinners. Ladies and gentlemen, if all of us were honest with ourselves, we would say we qualify as the chief of sinners. And so Christ as a lamb is infinitely gracious and merciful towards us. So Christ is infinite justice as a lion. He is infinitely merciful as a lamb. Isn't that beautiful? Thirdly, as a lion, Christ manifests infinite glory. And we see in him all divine diverse excellencies. And yet as a lamb, we see in Christ the lowest humility. Remember Paul's words in Philippians chapter 2, where he writes, being describing our Lord, being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the lowest of humility. So Christ possesses infinite glory as a lion, and yet he is infinitely lowly as a lamb. Number four, as a lion, Christ is infinitely majestic. The psalmist states, "Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, in thy glory and thy majesty. 'Tis he that is mighty that rideth on the heavens, and his excellency on the sky. 'Tis he that is terrible out of his holy places, who is mightier than the noise of many waters, at whose presence the earth doth quake, and the hills do melt, who sitteth on the circle of the earth, and all the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, who rebukes the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up the rivers, whose eyes are as a flame of fire, from whose presence and from the glory of whose power the wicked shall be punished with everlasting destruction, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, that hath heaven for his throne and the earth for his footstool, and is the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose kingdom is everlasting and whose dominion there is no end." No wonder he is infinitely majestic. I don't know about you, but I don't know any king who has heaven for his throne and the earth for his footstool. I don't know of any king who inhabits eternity. In other words, he's always been and he always will be. I don't know of any king who has an everlasting kingdom whose dominion will never end. That is majestic power and glory.
Amen.
And yet as a lamb, Christ said, "I am meek and lowly in heart." When he was reviled, he reviled not again. He went as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. So we see in Christ a lamb in his majesty. We see in Christ a lamb in his meekness. Number five. As a lion, Christ was perfectly innocent. He deserved no suffering. He was harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And yet as a lamb, Christ was perfectly patient under the greatest sufferings a man could ever endure. No man has ever suffered as Christ. Hebrews 12:2 states, "He endured the cross, despising the shame." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, "When he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body in the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." Christ as a lion was perfectly innocent, deserving no suffering, perfectly innocent. Let that settle into your mind. And yet as a lamb, he was perfectly patient under the greatest of suffering. Number six, as a lamb, Christ is absolute sovereignty. "It is he that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." Colossians 1 tells us, "By him and through him and to him are all things." In John 5, verse 17, Christ said, "The Father worketh, and hitherto I work." And yet as a lamb, Christ was perfectly resigned. Matthew 26, 39, Christ said in the Garden of Gethsemane, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will." Remember, he had absolute sovereignty. But then he said, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Christ as a lion was perfectly sovereign, but as a lamb, he was perfectly resigned to do his Father's will. And then one more. Number seven, as a lion, Christ is self-sufficient, standing in need of nothing. In fact, all creatures are dependent upon him. He is dependent on none. We sing, he has the whole world in his hands. And yet as a lamb, it was said of Christ, he trusted in God that he would deliver him. 1 Peter 2:23, he committed himself to God. So Christ was self-sufficient as a lion. He was totally God-dependent as a lamb. And so in summary, as a lion, Christ is the just judge of a sinful world. And yet as a lamb, he is the Savior of the world. As a lion, he is a consuming fire to sin. And yet as lamb, Christ is the light and life of sinners. He is the justifier of him who believeth in Jesus. Romans 3 declares Christ our Passover sacrificed for us. And so, yes, Christ is both a lion and a lamb. He appeared as a lamb in the hands of his cruel enemies, and yet at the same time, as a lion, Christ conquers and triumphs over Satan, destroying his own devourer, destroying his enemies, as when he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And one day soon, as the lion of the tribe of Judah, Christ shall come in infinite greatness and majesty in the glory of his Father with all his holy angels, and the earth shall tremble before him, and the hills shall melt. And so my admonition to you is, let the reality of this wonderful meeting of the diverse excellencies of Christ as both a lion and a lamb move you to choose him as your Savior. There is no other Savior like him. As a lamb, Christ says in Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in its fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. When you feast on the world, your soul is dying. But when you feast on Jesus Christ, your soul shall live. Come unto me, Christ says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In Revelation chapter 22, almost the last words of the Bible, we read here, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. This lion, this lamb, has the water of life for your soul. And if you do come to Christ, he will as a lamb save you. Save you now. He says, I will come into your heart. And then as a lion, he will defend you in his glorious power and dominion. I say, what a God and Savior we have in Jesus Christ. Pictured as a lion, pictured as a lamb, as a lion in Christ's victorious resurrection and rule, and as a lamb in Christ's victorious redemptive work on our behalf. Jesus died for you. And so the elder, as we get back to our text, the elder could announce in Revelation 5 that one has qualified. This lion, this lamb, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I say how privileged we are now to remember him, to remember his death as a lamb until he comes back as a lion. Father, I thank you. I thank you for our wonderful Savior, the one who paid as a lamb the ransom for our sins, and the one who as a lion with whom we will one day rule and reign. Thank you, Lord. I pray that this will be a special time of remembrance as we remember Jesus Christ as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world until he comes as a lion, as a conquering lion. Thank you, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.